We again come to you with our studies in 2 Thessalonians. You know, it's a wonderful thing for us to be able to sit down and just talk to you from the precious Word of God. It's a marvelous thing, isn't it? That the Lord has not left us to our own devices or our own ability, but the Spirit of God has come to lead us and to guide us into all truth. Remember in John chapter 16, where the Lord speaks of the fact that the Spirit of God is going to lead us and guide us into all truth. He will take the things of Christ and show them unto us. He will show us things to come. And the Spirit of God, through the apostle, is giving to us some of these things. Now, in the first chapter of 2 Thessalonians, we've been dealing with the fact of the Lord coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon those who refuse Him, who know not God, who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he ends the chapter with a great prayer for these dear suffering Christians in Thessalonica. And may I just again suggest it to you, he prays that they may be counted worthy of this calling. What calling? To be glorified with Christ, to be glorified in Christ. As we have it here, as I said a while ago, we have a glorified Savior and a glorified people. And this is going to be made known in every day by God fulfilling His purpose and His goodness in His people. This is the work of God now in His people. Remember that God is doing a work now in you and me. You remember 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "We all with open face, beholding as in a glass, in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, we are being changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." The very tests of life through which we Christians go are used by God to fit us for the enjoyment of His eternal glory. You have this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 to 18, where Paul writes, "These light afflictions are just for a moment. They're working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal." And it's a wonderful thing to know that we're dealing with eternal verities, with assurance, with a positiveness. You know, sometimes I'm accused of being dogmatic, that I'm believing some things that a fellow shouldn't believe. Oh, no. If God says it, I'm going to believe it. I may not understand all that He has revealed, but I'm going to believe it. And thank God it's going to take all eternity for us to keep on growing in the knowledge of God in our experience. We're not going to be static. There's going to be a growth. There's going to be an enjoyment. There's going to be an enlarged capacity to understand, to experience, to know the wonderful purpose and grace of God and His people. So you have Him praying here, and especially the purpose of it all, that the name of our Lord shall be glorified in you and in Him. And again, I want to repeat it. I can't get away from this amazing truth of our union with the Savior. You remember, allow me to record, which I have done so much of late, in John 14:20. You remember, at the end of verse 19, he says, "Because I live, you shall live also. In that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." And when I speak of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be glorified with all the glory of the omnipotent God, and I'm in Christ, and if you're a believer, you're in Christ, and you're going to share with Him in that glory. That's why you have in John 17:22, "The glory which you've given to me, I have given to them." Oh, that we Christians could really appreciate our union, that indestructible union with the Savior. I'm amazed that so many Christians are so ignorant of what took place the moment they accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. One time I gave a series of a tremendous number of things that took place the moment a sinner accepts the Lord Jesus Christ. tell you, not only were we translated out of the kingdom of darkness, taken out of that where darkness reigns, where death reigns, but he brought us into the kingdom of his own Son and united us eternally to Jesus Christ. And when he is glorified, we shall be glorified together with him. As Colossians 3:4 says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. You know, can I say this? In the study of the book of Ephesians, I'm not surprised to find a verse like this, two verses in fact. When I think of the believer standing before God, accepting the Beloved, covered with the righteousness of Christ, and remembering what we were, born in sin, children of wrath like the rest, now the children of one who is God. And in Ephesians 2:7 it says, in the ages to come, he's going to show forth the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us by Christ Jesus. It's going to take all eternity for God to show forth this wonderful grace in his people, so that angelic beings, myriads of them, and the, shall I say, the demons in hell, will learn something of the manifold grace of God. And then when you come to chapter 3 of Ephesians, God is going to teach principalities and powers in the heavenlies the wisdom of God. How? Through the church. Oh, who could transform sinners into saints? Who can transform children of wrath into the children of God? Who can transform those who are absolute in unrighteousness and cover them with the righteousness of Christ, the divine righteousness? Only God could do that. Friend, only God could do that. And all he wants you and me to do is to put our trust in Jesus Christ, his Son. And when you put your trust in Jesus Christ, his Son, as your Savior, these other things all fall into place. Which leads us, of course, into chapter 2. Now, when we come to chapter 2, I may just read the first two verses, because it picks up something concerning the day of the Lord. In fact, the first 12 verses have to do with the day of the Lord. And remember that the day of the Lord is not the coming of the Lord for the church. The day of the Lord is the great doctrine in Scripture. In fact, it's the great teaching of the prophets. Starting in Isaiah, in fact, you can go way back to Deuteronomy. But you find, especially from Isaiah on, the great teaching of the day of the Lord. You read over and over again, the day of the Lord cometh, the day of the Lord cometh, and then you have some things that pertain to the day of the Lord. There's a great deal of truth is given to us concerning the day of the Lord. One could go into the book of Joel chapter 2 and Zephaniah chapter 1 and Daniel chapter 12, Matthew 24. The day of the Lord is a time of the judgments of God. In other words, you say the day of the Lord is a millennium. That's right. But there can be no setting up of a righteous reign until the unrighteous are put down. There can be no display of Christ reigning as Lord of Lords and King of Kings on the earth without first of all putting away all that which is unrighteous and that which is rebellious against him. So the day of the Lord starts in judgment. In fact, Zephaniah chapter 1 says the day of the Lord is a day of wrath, and so on. Now, first of all, in the first three verses, we have some warnings regarding that day. Allow me to read these three verses. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, that the day of the Lord is at hand. Now, in your King James Version, it says that the day of Christ is at hand. Now, there's a lot of difference between the word Christos, which is the word for Christ, and Kurios, which is the word for Lord. For example, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Jesus is Lord. Kurios. The day of the Lord is at hand. Kurios. So let me reread that verse. That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, that the day of the Lord is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Let me just stop here for a moment. First of all, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon troubled, shaken in mind, so on. Here he's talking about our gathering together unto him. Now, this was taken up in the first epistle of the Thessalonians. And you remember, the coming of the Lord for his own is when the Lord Jesus Christ shall come for his church. This precedes the day of the Lord. In fact, if I were to take it up, the day of the Lord does not start until the church is taken away. And as soon as the church of Christ is taken away, the purpose of God in the earth today is completed. Then God picks up again the fulfilling of his prophecy concerning the day of the Lord. Again, let me remind you, the day of the Lord is the great prophetic picture in the Old Testament. And much of the Gospels is the day of the Lord. The church was an unknown company of people. You do not find the church of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And the prophetic picture has to do with the day of the Lord. It's a well-marked event. But the day of Christ, our gathering together unto him, is the fulfilling of God's purpose today. You remember in the book of Acts chapter 15, starting about verses 13 and running through verse 18, where we read where James says, Simon hath declared unto you how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. After this, after he's through gathering out the church, he will return and build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and so on. Here you have again the setting up of the kingdom. There can be no setting up of the kingdom of our Savior on earth, where he shall rule in righteousness over the nations of the earth, until first of all his purpose for the earth today is completed. And I want to say, and I'm injecting this here, when I read my newspapers and magazines, when I see what is going on in the earth today among all the nations, I am fully persuaded in my own mind that this age of grace is coming to an end. Things are multiplying. Shadows that reveal the reality of what is coming is very obvious before us. Who could have said 10 years ago that the world would have been in the condition it is today, even 5 years ago? And now we are facing a time of famine all over the world. In fact, they're worried about where they're going to get enough foodstuffs to feed the population of the world. My friend, I want you to realize the coming of the Lord is very near. That is our gathering together unto him, the taking away of the church from the earth. It can happen today. I have no right to say it will not happen today. I know he's coming. The time is in his own hands. So you have him in the first verse. We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, that the day of the Lord is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. Now, in the first epistle, they were troubled because some of the Christians were dying. Some were being martyred. Now, the question was raised in the first epistle, what if the day of the Lord should come? What about these who are in their graves? Where do they come in on the day of the Lord? You see, when Paul went down to Thessalonica, he did not preach the rapture of the church. He talked about the day of the Lord. Now, while they're waiting for the day of the Lord to take place, some of the Christians were dying. Now, the question is raised, and answered in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. Supposing the Lord should come with his saints to the earth to reign, what about these who have died? So he gave to us in chapter 4, verses 13 to 17, the blessed revelation of the translation of the church. You remember, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. But now in the second epistle, they're worried now that the day of the Lord has come. And Paul said that when the day of the Lord would come, the Lord Jesus would reign in righteousness. And here they were in affliction, in trouble, in tribulation. And if the Lord has come, why are we in tribulation? So he writes, and in the first chapter he speaks of a certainty of the judgment of God upon the unsaved, upon those who were persecuting them. And in verse 2 he tells us certain things. Now notice it placed in verse 2. The day of the Lord is a well marked out event. So don't you be shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word or even by a letter from us, that the day of the Lord is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. And I take it here that these Christians were being shaken. They were in distress. They were troubled. Possibly they had been deceived by someone on three grounds. First of all, by pretended revelations. Don't be troubled by spirit, by some supernatural manifestations. Where people say the Lord has come. In fact, I have heard of some people who teach today that the Lord is already on earth. If he is, he's certainly not judging the people. Pretended revelations, and by the way, may I just say a word in connection with that? Please, friend, don't you arrange your life by some revelation that somebody claims to have had. The Word of God is a complete revelation. I don't care how ecstatic, how wonderful your experience may be. If it is contrary to the Word of God, I won't accept it, not for a moment. I believe that God has spoken. It's for me to believe what God has said. So don't you be set off by somebody's pretended revelation. And then the second thing is, don't be troubled by word that someone comes along with eloquence and comes along with traditions of men. Don't take any stock in it. And thirdly, someone wrote them, claim it was from Paul. Here you have spurious letters. And in these letters they had added revelation to what Paul had given to them. And Paul says, don't you be deceived by any of these. You know, it's an amazing thing. We have people who have even written booklets on the dreams they've had. They've had further revelation. They've even went to heaven, saw things, heard them, and then they write them down. Do you know, I remember in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians, a man by the name of Paul the Apostle, who was caught up to the third heaven and saw and heard things that was not legal for him to write. He couldn't write them. And because of the abundance of the revelation which God gave to him, God gave him a thorn in the flesh, that he might not be exalted above measure. And I'm well aware of the fact that there are those who come along and they're proud of some dream, some revelation they've had. And my friend, it's not from God. God has given to you. Just sit down and read your Bible. That's the trouble. We would rather have an ecstatic experience rather than sit down and read the Word of God. And it's so simple. The Word of God is simple. You say, I can't understand it. My friend, you keep on reading it. And you ask the Spirit of God to make it real to you. And you can only receive according to your capacity. Don't trust the words of men. Don't trust the revelations and dreams that men may have. The Word of God has been given to us. Even some letter that was supposed to have been signed by the Apostle Paul, he said, don't you accept it. I never wrote such a letter. Because the day of the Lord is a well-marked out event, and we're not to be deceived by any of these things. Then he goes on to speak in verses 3 to 12 that are certain events that precede that day. First of all, the apostasy and the revelation of the man of sin. I'll take this up in our next lesson, and please read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And if you haven't an outline, you write for it. We'd be glad to send it to you, and then you can follow along with us in the program in our studies. The Lord bless you today.